saturated fat has caused quite the controversy. If you're like me, for most of your life, you've probably been told that it's bad for you, that it clogs your arteries and ends up giving you a heart attack if you eat enough of it. On the other hand, you probably see people talking about the benefits of eating butter and putting it in their coffee. And even if you Google bulletproof coffee or butter coffee, you'll find research-based articles saying that the thinking that butter or saturated fat causes heart disease is outdated and wrong. So what's the truth? If you're like me, you've been confused for a long time. You probably pick up that stick of butter in the dairy section at the supermarket or wherever you shop for your butter and wonder, am I holding an artery-clogging fat bomb or a superfood that has been vilified but actually will help you live a long and healthy life? That's what we're going to get into today. What is up, my friend? And welcome back to another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Rice, coach to entrepreneurs, executives, and other high-performing professionals. And what we do here on the Legendary Life Podcast is we break down science-based information on how to lose fat, prevent disease, and live a longer, healthier, legendary life. So if this is your first time tuning in and you like that idea, well, you're in the right place. Click subscribe to wherever you listen to podcasts so that when my episodes goes live, you'll be the first to know. And if you've been listening for a while and would love to participate in improving this podcast by giving more of what you want, I've created a 2021 podcast survey. So your input is super important to me because I want to make sure that every time I do an episode, it is something that you're interested in. That's going to help you solve a problem. Sometimes I feel like that professor that you had in college who's just talking and you're just looking at them, shaking your head, saying, oh man, this person has no idea where I am. This person has no idea what I'm really struggling with. And if that's the case, I don't want to be, I wouldn't want to be that person. I want to get some feedback from you. So if you're interested, or how about this? You may not be interested. I know you're busy, but please, your input is important to me and to the whole Legendary Life team. If you could go to legendarylifepodcast.com/survey and answer our questions, you can fill them out in less than 3 minutes. And that gives us feedback on what you're coming here for and what you want more of. So thanks in advance for your help. Again, that's legendarylifepodcast.com/survey. And don't worry, it's completely anonymous. This isn't some scam to get your email or anything like that. It's just to figure out, okay, what can we do to make this better? We've got big plans for this year and we want to make sure that you're part of them. So legendarylifepodcast.com/survey. Let's get back to the episode. Let's get back to the controversy at hand. So let's get back to this idea of saturated fat, because a common claim that you see on social media is that the idea that saturated fat is bad was based on bad science and that in reality, it's perfectly healthy. It's so good for you, in fact, that you don't need to restrict it and maybe even eating more of it might make you even healthier. And then for us people who are less in the nutrition extremist groups and maybe try to pay attention to our saturated fat intake, there's also the fact that a lot of foods that are high in saturated fat taste delicious. I mean, people say, or at least low-carb crazies say that, oh, carbs make you fat. Carbs are so terrible. Just you eat a bit of carbs and you can't stop eating. And if you actually look at the nutrition facts on the back of a box of donuts or, like me, a pint of Häagen-Dazs ice cream, you'll find that an equal, if not greater, amount of calories comes from fat. So fat is in a lot of things that are delicious. And again, I've been in this situation where I'm like, butter. I used to go out of my way to put butter on things because I thought, oh no, it's good for you. Butter is good for you. I went down that road. I used to drink bulletproof coffee when I first heard about Dave Asprey. I got really into his stuff maybe 6 years ago. Maybe even a little bit longer than that. I tried the bulletproof coffee thing. I liked the way it tastes, and it certainly allowed me to go without eating until, you know, noon, one, until lunchtime. So what's going on here? Who's right? Who's wrong? And of course, is there nuance that's being lost in the discussion about saturated fat? So first of all, what is saturated fat and why do we think it's bad? Where does this idea come from? And again, what is it? So the fat that you eat and the fat that gets stored on your body, by the way, is made up of different types of fatty acids. And you've probably heard of these three types of fats. There's saturated fat, which is our topic today, but there's also unsaturated fat. And there's two types of unsaturated fat. There's monounsaturated fat and polyunsaturated fat. Now, I'm not going to go into the chemistry of fats because I feel like you'll probably fall asleep. And I don't think it's super important unless you're really trying to understand the chemistry. And really, you got to look at a book to do that. Just know that saturated fats are simply fat molecules that have no double bonds between the carbon molecules. They're saturated with hydrogen. That's why they're called saturated fat. So it's a bunch of carbon atoms chained together that are surrounded by or have all their links full with hydrogen molecules. I hope you're not like just rolling your eyes right now. But it's easier to see this with a graphic. So I recommend Googling fat molecular structure if you want to see what it looks like. But why is this important? Well, the structure of fat influences how it behaves in our body and how it behaves in general. Because if you've ever noticed, olive oil at room temperature is liquid. And butter at room temperature, as long as it's not super hot, right, is solid. So this affects how fats affect our body. So why do we think this hydrogen saturated solid at room temperature fat is bad for us? Well, in 1978, a research project named the Seven Country Study was published. Now, this study was led by an American physiologist known as Ansel Keys. You probably heard of him before, or at least have seen his name mentioned, especially in arguments about heart disease. Now, what Keys found in the data was that in countries like the United States, where consumption of saturated fat was higher, there was also a higher rate of heart disease. On the other hand, in countries like Italy and Greece, where consumption of saturated fats was low, there was a lower rate of heart disease. And in addition to the Seven Countries study, many studies have linked the consumption of saturated fat with increases in blood cholesterol levels. So those studies, combined with the observational research on the association between diet and heart disease from the Seven Countries study, led Dr. Ansel Keys to propose what we know now as the diet-heart hypothesis. So what is that? Have you ever heard it before? Well, it's simply the idea that saturated fats cause cardiovascular disease and should be avoided. And he also proposed that unsaturated fats from plants were protective and should be emphasized. Okay, but is it true that saturated fats are bad for us, especially if you paid attention? That Seven Countries study was observational. It was an observational study. So let's talk about what we know here. Well, saturated fats consumed in excess, and what does that mean? We're talking about 10% of daily calories, right? Increase LDL, which is also known as the bad cholesterol, as well as the likelihood of heart attack, stroke, and cardiovascular events overall. And as saturated fat intake goes down, so does the risk of cardiovascular events. But get this. And I want you to pay attention to this because you're going to learn something about nutrition science in general if you pay attention. Saturated fats don't increase your risk of dying, though. So they also appear to have no effect on cancer risk, diabetes, HDL cholesterol, triglycerides, or blood pressure. So I want to say that again. Saturated fats consumed in excess increase a risk factor for heart disease. But saturated fat hasn't been linked directly with heart disease. Do you see how this is a gray area? Do you see how this is a bit complicated? By the way, trans fats, on the other hand, increase both your risk of cardiovascular diseases and death. Trans fats, bad. And we don't even really need to talk about them much anymore because they've been removed from most of the products in the United States. Now, if you're in another country, that might not be the case. So you should look for hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated fats on the or in the processed foods that you might be eating. You know, the ones that you shouldn't eat, but you eat anyway. I'm trying to remember. I was in either Thailand or it might have been Mexico, and I saw trans fats on the label. So in other countries, trans fats haven't been taken out of the food supply, but in the US it has, and probably in other countries like Canada and UK, I would bet, are the same. So read your ingredients labels. Meanwhile, monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fat, in other words, fats that are found in olives, that are found in nuts and seeds, vegetables. So monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fat intake is associated with a lower risk of cardiovascular disease and death. So what does this all mean for you when you go grocery shopping or sitting down to eat? Because this can get a little bit complicated. Well, when it comes to fats, we should prioritize foods rich in mono and polyunsaturated fats, like most nuts and seeds, seafoods, olives, olive oil, avocado. And you want to be a bit moderate in your consumption of foods rich in saturated fats. So think fattier cuts of meat, high-fat dairy products and foods made from them, palm oil and coconut. And again, if you're in the U.S., you probably don't have to do this, but it's still good to read the ingredients label. But reduce or eliminate foods rich in trans fats, like processed foods, vegetable shortening, margarine, cooking oils made with hydrogenated oils. So again, a lot of vegetable shortening in the U.S. is made without trans fats these days. So just read the ingredients. And again, if you're in a different country, I don't know about the rules or the customs there. So read the ingredients, and if you see hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils, you want to stay away from that stuff. It's straight up bad. Now, here are a couple of things to keep in mind about this, because when we're talking about a single ingredient, well, we can lose sight of the forest through the trees, however that saying goes. You get focused on the little details, but you don't think big picture anymore is what I'm trying to say. We want to avoid that. We always want to think big picture. And the first thing I want to tell you is this. We don't know as much as you think about the connection between nutrition and heart disease and other chronic diseases. Why is that? Well, nutrition is a new science. And people used to die from infectious diseases at high rates 100 years ago. So nutrition science is new. People used to die from infectious diseases, which nutrition certainly influences, but it's more about, okay, I got killed off by the Black Plague or yellow fever or tuberculosis. That's what we were struggling with. And now it's kind of interesting that we have this pandemic going on again. It kind of brings up some of what we've been through in the past, right? But the last big pandemic that killed a lot of people was the Spanish flu, and that happened in 1914 or whatever. It happened in the very early 1900s. So because of the improvements in public health and modern medicine, we're living a lot longer now. We're not dying from infectious diseases like we once did. On the other hand, we're suffering and dying from things like heart disease and cancer now. So just keep that in perspective, understanding, hey, this is where we are in the development of modern society and of health. We're just beginning to scratch the surface with this stuff. I know it may seem like we're so ahead with, oh, you can do gene testing to figure out what you should eat for your genetics. Well, that's not true, okay? The best estimates is that we're 10 years away from really using gene testing to direct our daily nutrition choices and get a result from it. That's why I've gotten people who want to come on the podcast and talk about it. I'm like, do you think I'm an idiot? Or maybe you're an idiot. I don't know. You believe in that stuff, but I've looked into the data. It's not, I would be doing it if I thought it was something great. There are some things that you can test with gene testing, with nutrition, but it's not what people claim it is. We're just not that far ahead. Things have changed so much in 100 years. And then we have a lot of people who don't want to look at the evidence. So like I used to be a low carb person. I used to be very militant about it. I thought it was so simple. Listen, insulin makes you fat. What causes insulin? What raises your insulin? Carbs, pure and simple. Actually, protein does too, but you know, I didn't know that at the time. Fat doesn't raise your insulin. So therefore, carbs raise insulin. Insulin's a fat-storing hormone. Therefore, carbs make you fat. So simple. By the way, that was before I went to school and did all my pre-med requisites, like chemistry, organic chemistry, biology, cellular biology, anatomy and physiology. And I really came out of there with a very different perspective. I'm like, man, I didn't know anything. I really thought that I knew things, but I really did not. I used to tell people not to eat carrots because it had a high glycemic index for a vegetable. That might be relevant for someone with diabetes or possibly pre-diabetes, but for a person who isn't pre-diabetic or diabetic, it's really not that important. So keep that in mind. The whole point of what I'm trying to say is we're in an exciting place in a way with nutrition and health, but we just don't know. Like a lot of the longevity things, a lot of the people talk about longevity, but guess what? A lot of the longevity research is done on animals. Why? Because you got to wait until people, you've got to do studies on people and wait until they die to figure out, okay, what worked for them, right? We don't have trials like that. We just have some observational stuff, which is good. Epidemiological data, which no problem with that. That's good. That's how we figured out how exercise is so powerful. We also figured out that smoking causes cancer because of epidemiological studies. Just understand, we're in this point where it's really exciting and new things are coming out all the time. But the people who are born 100 years from now are really going to have a lot of things figured out that you and I were just not going to have access to. So let's get to the second point. So what type of fat and how much of it you eat is just a single point or piece, rather, of the heart disease puzzle. So eating more saturated fat may increase your risk, a risk factor. So it increases a risk factor. Eating saturated fat raises LDL cholesterol. If you eat, again, a certain percentage of your calories from saturated fat, it may raise your LDL cholesterol, but that's only one risk factor for heart disease. And raising a risk factor doesn't mean you will develop heart disease. And on the other hand, banning all saturated fat from your diet will not make you heart attack proof. And I'm trying to say this because people tend to focus on nutrition now because instead of other factors for heart disease because it's popular. Let me tell you, let me pull the curtains behind the marketing side of the nutrition world and share something with you. So I'm looking to write a book and I've talked to a bunch of editors and talking about, hey, what type of book should we write? And I'm not writing a diet book, but here's what we know. If you wanted to write a book and wanted it to do well and wanted it to make money, you write a diet book. Why is that? Well, that's what people are focused on. Nutrition is that thing. People don't argue about exercise like they argue about nutrition. People don't argue about sleep like they argue about nutrition. What are people focused on? What should I eat? What should I eat? How much should I eat? Should I eat fat? Should I be low carb? Should I do the Atkins? Should I eat paleo? Should I eat like a caveman? Should I eat like I'm from the Mediterranean area of the world? People don't say, hey, listen, how does my personality, how does my anger levels factor into heart disease? How does being in poverty affect my risk for heart disease? People don't ask those questions. They want to know, what do I eat to be super healthy and never get sick? Guess what, folks? That's a trap, okay? Because you can eat super duper healthy and smoke cigarettes, and you're gonna probably end up with heart disease and or cancer. So nutrition, or even if you're like, I remember being in Bangkok, I've shared this story many times. I was in Bangkok, Thailand, living there. And you may or may not know, but Bangkok is super polluted. People get heart disease and die much earlier in Bangkok, Thailand than they do in other places because of the extreme levels, or at least sometimes extreme levels of air pollution there. You could eat the most perfect diet. Let's say we knew the most perfect diet. We figured it out down to your genes, and you're doing it. And you're not like some people that fall off the wagon. You do everything perfectly, but you're breathing in that pollution. Guess what? You're going to die earlier. So don't lose sight of the fact that there's more than just nutrition, and certainly more than whether you're eating saturated fat. Now, I'm not saying that it's not important. I'm just saying stay big picture. Okay. And that brings us to the next point, is consider heart disease risks outside of what types of foods you eat. Now, the two major risk factors for heart disease, by the way, that are modifiable, because your age is not modifiable, your, you know, race or ethnicity, or, you know, however you want to measure it or qualify it, is not modifiable, right? If your dad died from a heart attack at 45 years old, or like, you know, my dad got colon cancer when he was younger than me, I believe 43, 44, something like that. And I just had a giant polyp removed from my colon that was on its way to becoming cancer in spite of all the healthy living that I've done. And now I haven't been super healthy in my life. I've gone through periods of time where I've done a lot of drugs and everything. But again, if you have that risk, if one of your family members, either it came down with heart disease at an early age, you got to be extra mindful about it. But let's get into the two things that are modifiable here, which is high blood pressure and high blood cholesterol. Okay. And we understand how this works. High blood pressure, what does it do? Think about this. If you had a hose and you put water through it at a relaxed rate, that hose is going to last longer. But let's imagine that you attach like a fire hydrant to a hose and just keep it going all the time. That hose is going to wear out. And we know high blood pressure ends up damaging the, what are called the endothelial cells, or like the inside of your artery cells, right? I don't know what to call them. It's like the inside of your artery. They're called endothelial cells, but imagine you have, right, your artery is a tube. Imagine the inside of that tube has a lining. Those are your endothelial cells, and those things get damaged with high blood pressure. And what happens? Well, cholesterol and other things get deposited there to deal with the damage. So that's why high blood pressure matters. And high blood cholesterol, well, it probably has to do with high blood pressure, right? If you got more cholesterol in your blood and high blood pressure at the same time, more of the cholesterol is getting deposited inside your arteries. But even if it's not, there is a process that happens where some of your immune cells, your macrophages, end up eating the HDL cholesterol and causes this type of foam that gets deposited in your arteries. So if you have high blood pressure or high blood cholesterol, work to get them into a healthy range. Those are two of the biggest risk factors that we know that you can have control over. Regular exercise and losing excess body fat is where I'd start with this. Okay. Isometric exercise and aerobic exercise have both been proven to help with high blood pressure. Losing body fat and reducing saturated fat in your diet can help you lower your cholesterol. And by the way, one of the things that I get really angry about, not angry anymore, but like annoyed, you know, mildly annoyed, is when I was eating the low carb thing and eating butter and cooking all my vegetables and saturated fat, coconut oil or butter, cooking everything in coconut oil or butter, my cholesterol levels were out of whack. And I had high blood sugar as well. I was in the pre-diabetic blood sugar range. I was on my way to developing diabetes on a low-carb diet. Now, that's not to say that all low-carb diets will do that. I just was following it blindly and thinking that calories didn't matter, or that as long as I was eating carbs, I could eat as much saturated fat as I wanted. In fact, I should eat more because, hey, no problem. So again, keep all these things in mind, but consider heart disease risks outside of the types of foods you eat as well. Think about your exercise. Think about, oh, well, what I do with my clients is I don't have them change their nutrition. I have them lower the amount of calories they're eating, and I have them increase the amount of protein they're eating. And that's where body fat starts to come off of you, right? And also, if you've got high stress levels, if you're living in poverty, if you're a caregiver, if you have anger issues that are unresolved, if you have sleep issues, if you have depression, those can all influence heart disease, okay? Think outside the lunchbox. Think outside nutrition, okay? And when it comes to eating whole foods, this is what I do. And stop eating or minimize eating processed foods. Now, if you're like, oh, I already know that, but guess what? Coconut oil is processed. Avocado oil is processed. Olive oil is processed. All right. Nut and seed oils and vegetable oils are also processed. Butter is a processed food. Sour cream is also a processed food. Whey protein is also a processed food, but it doesn't have fat in it. So a lot of people don't realize it's like, yeah, eat the coconut instead of the coconut oil. Eat the avocado instead of using the avocado oil. Eat olives instead of olive oil. Eat nuts and seeds instead of using nuts and seeds oil. Eat milk and yogurt instead of using butter and sour cream. And minimize cooking oil, just in general. Hey, I'm not saying never use butter to cook, never use oil to cook, but minimize the amount of cooking oil. In fact, I'll tell you a secret. Everyone, here's the secret, right? Everyone talks about carbs, or at least so many people talk about carbs and how it's making them fat, and they try to cut carbs, and sometimes it works, they lose weight. The clients that come to me are guilty of a lot of the things that I did when I was a low-carb crazy. They're using a lot of butter and a lot of cooking oil, don't even realize how much. So if you're the type of person, you're pouring olive oil on your salad, it's making you fat, or it can be because it's overdoing your calories. Same thing with butter, same thing with cooking oil. If you're putting in that cooking oil or being generous with that cooking oil, butter or salad oil is adding calories to you, it's not making you healthier, okay? It's not making you healthier. So minimize the oil that you use. I even cook with water sometimes. And if I'm super straight with you right now, I'm not even cooking right now, just eating. I found some people to cook for me. So I'm gave them exactly what to do, right? So anyway, the last thing I'd say here is experiment. Try changing your diet and track the results. Don't believe me, right? Try changing your diet yourself. If you want to do keto, do an experiment. If you want to try low carb and increasing your fat, do an experiment. Be your own guru. Run your own tests. Of course, decide on why you're doing it. Are you trying to lose weight? Are you trying to reduce cravings? Are you trying to make your life easier in some way because, I don't know, you have more access to certain types of foods? Decide why you're doing it, then take some baseline measurements. Take your weight, your waist measurements, progress photos, measure your energy levels, sleep quality, digestion, and mood on a scale of 1 to 10. It's what I do with my clients, by the way. And also get a blood test. Get your cholesterol, your LDL, HDL, and total cholesterol, your triglycerides, fasting blood sugar, you know, and work with your doctor to get and interpret those tests. And anything else you want to track, see what happens. You may be able to handle. Here's another thing about nutrition science. We have ideas about what happens for most people, right? Saturated fat raises cholesterol levels if it's greater than 10% of your calories in most people, but maybe not for you. Maybe you can get away with it. Maybe you feel great on it. Maybe it doesn't affect your risk factors, right? Because again, saturated fat doesn't directly raise risk for cardiovascular disease. It raises a risk factor for heart disease. A very important distinction there. And most people, I don't think, like the most influencers or educators don't like to talk about it unless they're very science-based. And usually when those guys talk, they're super boring to listen to or complicated and your eyes just glaze over. Like that PhD professor you had in college that we were talking about. I remember I had a terrible, for organic chemistry, one dude, he was Korean and barely spoke English. I'm like, what is he doing teaching here? And then the other guy spoke English well. You just couldn't freaking understand him. So anyway, those are the guys that are best to learn from, but they're really hard to understand. And a lot of people who are more marketers, really, and who like to, yeah, and this, you know, I'm in the middle here. I'm not the guy doing research. I don't understand research as well as someone with a PhD who's actually conducting it. That's why I have them on my show. But there's a lot of people who are just marketers. And so they try to make things easy and also share things in a way that get you excited about it. But sometimes those people are wrong. So keep all of that in mind, right? We're talking about modifying risk factors. We're not, saturated fat doesn't, it's not directly causal. That relationship between saturated fat isn't directly causal. It raises a risk factor. Very important nuance there. Very important distinction. And you got to think, and it's just one risk factor. There's a lot of risk factors, although two of the biggest that you can control are what's your blood pressure and what is your cholesterol, right? So I hope that brings some light. I know you may have even more questions now. And hey, I do too. And we've got to just accept where we are in terms of human development, right? Human, where we are in our knowledge with health, with nutrition. We're just not where a lot of us would like us to be. We're still figuring things out. We're still putting the pieces together. We figured out some stuff, but a lot of stuff is still up in the air. So think about all your risk factors. Think about those two biggest ones, but think about all the risk factors, especially if you have heart disease in your family. Now, my dad, he had heart failure, which is different from atherosclerosis or the hardening or, you know, stiffening of arteries, the closing off of arteries. And I'm surprised he never had a heart attack. His heart just got super weak, but he was also an alcoholic and he didn't exercise. So your heart gets weak if you drink too much and your heart gets weak if you don't use it with exercise. But he never had a heart attack, never had a heart attack, never had a stroke, but he had colon cancer at a very young age. So it's important for you to understand the risk factors in your family, because if someone had heart disease or died at an early age, that's something that you really want to pay attention to. And you should go a bit deeper with heart disease risks. So for me, I'm all about the colon cancer risks right now, but we're in the middle of heart awareness, American Heart Month, right? So yeah, I want to ask you, what is the biggest takeaway you got from today's episode? And what can you put into action that you learned today? Can you go get your blood taken, your biomarkers done in a lab or with your doctor? Very important to know. Can you start to work on losing some excess body fat to help with your blood pressure and your cholesterol levels? Can you commit to doing more aerobic exercise or some learning how to do isometric exercise in a way that's going to help you lower your blood pressure? What is the thing that you've taken away here and what can you act on? Because the other thing is we're in a time where, and my dad was super guilty of this, and so many people are super guilty of this. My dad was an extremely intelligent person, 140 IQ, way smarter than me. However, he would use his brain to figure things out instead of doing things and taking action. So he'd say, I'm just not motivated to work out, so I just won't do it. And he paid dearly for that in spite of being a very intelligent person, at least in terms of IQ. And so make sure you're not guilty of that. One of the worst things that intelligent people do, especially high performers, is they use the power of their intellect to BS themselves into not taking action or not taking things seriously. Get out there, take action. That's how you get results. That's how you improve your health. So again, what can you take action on? That's what I want you to think about, my friend. I care about you. I want the best for you. I want to see you not just have great health, but all the things that can come from great health, because health forms the foundation for success in our life. If you're not healthy, you can't be there for your kids. You can't be there for your spouse. You can't be there and work as hard as you need to or as smart as you need to achieve your goals. Health is everything. And if you disagree, just think about the last and think about how good of a parent you were, how productive you were in your career last time you got sick. So take action. What is that thing that you can take action on? That's what I want to leave you with. And again, if you can help us out, help me to help you. Go to legendarylifepodcast.com/survey. Answer our survey questions. Yes, they're anonymous. No, you don't have to give us your email. It's just to figure out how can we create better episodes? Because I just pick topics like saturated fat. I see it being talked about a lot. I pick the topic. Hopefully it hits a home run. But in case you want me to cover things that are important to you, go to legendarylifepodcast.com/survey, fill it out, and help us help you. That's all I've got. Hope you have an amazing week. Love you lots. Speak soon.